Blog Talk Radio.
Then, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. I don't know. It's raining here in Florida today. Maybe it's snowing where you're at, but we don't really see snow here. Hallelujah. Anyway, how is everybody today? Hope you all are well. And what a crazy world we're living in today, isn't it? Just one thing after another. And the terrorism is really amazing how these people have no regard for life, not even their own. And the sad part is when they kill themselves and when they wake up from this earth into the next life and they find out that they're in hell, how awful it must be. How awful it must be. So we really have our work cut out for us as far as sharing the gospel, because there's over 1 billion Muslims in the world. That's a lot. And the radical element is very, very frightening. So next week, Brenda Johnson is going to come on and we'll be talking about this subject. And so don't forget to tune in next week, because there's so much to learn, really, about this religion and what they really believe. They really do believe in a world takeover for their God, Allah. But we know who the God of the universe is. We know that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I was reading the other day, and it really did make me smile. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but don't be afraid. And even though we have tribulation, he'll still give us joy, so we can overcome no matter what we're going to have to go through. And really, we don't know. I'm sure those people in Paris last week, they were out enjoying themselves, and then some nut comes with a rifle. And you have to realize, too, that these people really don't have sophisticated armies. They don't have huge planes, fighter jets and tanks and the artillery that we have in our Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marines. But yet, they've managed to spread terror with rifles. And so, very frightening. We really need to be alert and of our surroundings in these days, because truly the days are evil. I was just looking at a story here this morning and about a dentist in New York City. The dentist is accused of trying to spread HIV in his own dental practice. You know, and not only that, he was addicted to methamphetamine. Imagine going to the dentist, because you really don't know who you're going to unless you know the person personally when you go to a dentist or a doctor. You don't know what they were snorting the night before or shooting or what they were doing. And then they're coming in to operate on you or to work on your teeth. Anyway, he's been charged with with child pornography, distribution, and possession of methamphetamine. He's also accused of engaging in rampant sex parties, and then he's going to come and work on your teeth the next day. Oh, dear. So I know one time I took a family member to a doctor, and I got to know the nurse. She was a Christian. So she was telling me there was two nurses in the office, and I just got a funny feeling about these nurses. And one was a male and one was a female. And they seemed awfully jittery, like they were, like they drank too much espresso or something. So anyway, the nurse told me that both of these nurses had drug problems in the past. They were taking crack. And so, but then they were able to go back to nursing. And you hear of these kind of things where they're found out to be drug addicts or alcoholics or whatever, and they go through rehab, and then they're allowed to come again and practice nursing and practice doctoring. Dear. So be careful. Be careful. And because we're going to talk a little bit today about how people put human beings up on a pedestal, and they, and a lot of people do this with doctors. Well, they don't know everything. They're only human. It's called the practice of medicine because it's a practice, and there's a lot of things they can't cure. If you don't get a miracle from God about most things, you're not going to get cured. So we need to trust God for our health. And yes, there are many good doctors and many good nurses, and I'm not saying they're all wicked and evil, but there's a lot of things that go on. And so you can't put your trust in human beings. You have to put your trust in God, because you just don't know what they were drinking the night before they're coming to operate on your brain, and what they were snorting, and who they were with. And so, again, put your faith and trust in God, because He's the only one that can heal you. We're going to talk today about idols, and is there really such thing as a covering? I don't think so. Anyway, I have a few audio clips from Juanita Bynum, and then I have one from Paula White, which, oh dear, this woman, she is really headed for a major downfall, major downfall. So I have two callers. I'm going to see if they have anything to say in just a minute. I see I have two callers, one from 708 and one from 813. And so I'll get to you in a few minutes. I just want to give a few scriptures here. We talk a little bit about pimp preachers, and you probably say to yourself, now, where do you get that from, Susan? Why are you calling people pimp preachers? Well, I'm a fan of the King James Bible. Now, I'm if you read another translation, that's fine. I don't get into arguments with people over Bible translations, but I do like the English in the King James. And you probably won't find this word in many of the other Bible translations, but you will find it in the King James, and you will find the word whore in there, and you will find the word whoring in there. So if you look at Psalm 106, verse 39, it says, "Thus were they defiled with their own works, and went a whoring with their own inventions." So, pimp preachers go a-whoring. They go a-whoring after their own inventions. They make up doctrines, and they do it for money. So Leviticus 20, verse 6, "And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go a-whoring after them, I will I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. So this is a good example of when you run up, when I know most of my listeners don't do this. We don't go running up with seed faith offerings and Passover offerings, and we don't allow people to deceive us in that way. So that's what this scripture basically is talking about, is you're going after familiar spirits and after wizards. And God says he's setting his face against them because they go a-whoring after their own lust. So if you want to do a Bible study here, you can use some of these internet search engines, and you can find these scriptures on whoring, and that's what a pimp preacher is. A pimp preacher goes a-whoring after their own lust. They don't have any concern for God's people. And I know a friend of mine, we were talking yesterday, and he said, now, this, you know, dopey Randy White, he likes to boast about all the famous people he's met and he knew and whatever. So he's talking about Margaret Thatcher, which I'm sure that Margaret didn't invite him over to England to, you know, have tea with him. I think probably he met her when she was at a conference in this country, and he happened to snap a photo with her. So he claims they're friends, and he asked her what the biggest threat to our country was, and she said China. But my friend mentioned to me yesterday that, no, it's the pimp preachers. It's the pimp preachers that are the biggest threat to our country, because they're sending people to hell with their false doctrines and their false teaching. Yeah, that's the most dangerous enemy that we have, is these messengers of Satan that are deceiving people, and they have the ability to sway people to even send them to hell. Yes, because they teach people to walk after another gospel and another Jesus, and yes, they are the most dangerous. So another side note about Randy White, you know, that his church there, the 4,000 or 5,000 seat building that they had there in Tampa was bulldozed. They went bankrupt and filed for bankruptcy. And now, you ever notice that a lot of these false teachers and the proponents of the give to get gospel and the seed faith gospel, they wind up going bankrupt? Now, how does that happen? And yet they still manage to con people to give them offerings. He's still in business. Even after his church was bulldozed, he moved over to an old moldy church, a real dump, and I saw it. I was there. And then now he's in another building. But he writes on his Instagram page that he's writing a book, and he's going to see one of the major distributors in this country with his life story. Now, who wants to read Randy White's life story? Like, he might as well write a book on how to fail and to keep failing by being a pimp preacher. That should be the title of his book, because who's going to get anything out of his book except that he's a dope? And he refuses to repent and serve the one true God. And so meanwhile, while his church was going bankrupt, he was paying himself a $150,000 a year salary while his two buildings were in foreclosure. So is that a real servant of the Lord Jesus Christ? I don't think so. But anyway, he's writing this book, and he's been waiting to put the book out because he's going to write two chapters about his former wife, Paula White, and he wants to tell the real story of what happened. So I wonder what he's going to say, because he was married to her for 17 years, so I'm sure he has information now that he probably wants to sell because he needs money. But, I mean, her life isn't that interesting either. So here's another nut that a few months ago when she brings her new husband, Jonathan Cain, and that's a good name, Cain, which is not his real name. His real name is Friga. That's his stage name. And so it's a 65-year-old man, or maybe 66, that used to be in rock and roll, and now he's still supposed to be in rock and roll even at the age of 65, but come on. Anyway, so she marries this guy, and she lets him talk. Like, he's supposed to be saved, so she lets him talk a couple weeks ago over a month. Anyway, you can see the video on YouTube. You can actually see him saying it. So, and I know I have the audio here. I might play it for you. But he actually tells people that he's telling the women of the church. Now, this is a Sunday morning service, and the children are there. The teenagers are there. The husbands and the wives are there. The single people are there. And he tells the women that they should watch pornography with their husbands because that'll help their marriage. And and Paula is giggling in the background like that was funny. That's demonic. I'm surprised the whole church didn't empty out, but it didn't. The people even, they came back after that. They came back for more. And Thursday night, I was looking at her service from that New Destiny or No Destiny place over there in the boonies of Apopka, the windowless dark dungeon that they call a church there. And anyway, she's talking about this, the woman that goes up to Jesus, and she's supposedly kissing his feet. And anyway, you know, Paula decides that she's going to go over to her husband, who's sitting on the platform in a chair, and she walks over to her husband, and she takes his boot off, and then she takes his sock off, and she kneels down, and she starts kissing his feet and, like, writhing on his leg. Now, I never saw anything like that in a supposed church service. Did you ever see anything like that? Like, would you want this person to be your pastor? I don't want my pastor massaging his wife on Sunday. I don't want to hear about his sex life. I don't want to know about your sex life. I don't care. It's nobody's business. And I don't want to see this kind of behavior either on a Thursday night in a so-called church service. So expect to see anything over there at New Undestiny Cult Center. Expect to see anything when you see something like that. And maybe I do have the video of the actual performance that she did over there. And do you think that maybe some people walked out when that happened? Maybe. But some of the people there in the congregation stood up and cheered when she was doing this. Yeah. They stood up and cheered when she was doing this. So, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I couldn't believe it. But anyway, I'm going to play this audio. This is the audio of her going over and removing her husband's boot and sock, and her 1 minute and 30 second.
Not kissing my feet, even to oil my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say among themselves, who is this one who forgives sins? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Well, I'm going to keep teaching, but let me bring it down. Okay, let me bring it like this. Baby, I hate to bother you, but I'm not going to do this to Pastor Doug, okay? So this is how this thing went down. That's how it went down, all right? It went down just like this. Because if I see a woman that gets by the ministry of Jesus in John as the light of the world, and she comes and she starts going,
you heard everybody cheering. She was on her knees after she took off her husband's boot and sock, and you could hear her kissing his feet, and then she's rubbing her hair, and you heard the dopes screaming. And then she says she may have to get saved. Well, she's not saved. If she's going to get saved, she needs to get saved the first time. I don't know any saved women of God that would do anything like that. And a Thursday night supposedly Bible study. Which Bible were they reading? Which Bible was she reading? Her favorite Bible, the Satanic Bible? Probably. Probably. Honest. You know, you can't make this up. You can't make this stuff up. And they might post the video. I don't know if they're even going to post this video on their so-called church page, which is N for Nancy, D, C, C, T, V. And you can go and watch it. They may have it in the archives, so that's from Thursday, November 18th. They may not post this video, but if they do, you can go and watch it and see it for yourself. You say to yourself, and I know I say to myself too, I think I've seen just about everything. But just when you think that you've seen just about everything from these pimp preachers, they do something else that you can't believe. And we don't make this up. We don't report rumors here on this broadcast. We report what they say, what they do. We don't hire private investigators, which that's fine. If there's people that have ministries that do that, that's fine. But I don't do that. I just take what they have said and what they have done in public, not what they did in secret, what they do in public. So we only report facts. And the major reason that we report these facts is because anybody can fall prey to these type of people, and they're dangerous. They're dangerous to your family, to your children. This kind of behavior, when you're looking for a place to take your little children and your teenage children, you're looking for a place to take them because the teenagers have issues. They're growing up. And you don't want to take your children and your teenagers to these kind of places where they're going to be corrupted. Never mind public schools. This place is taking them to these places that call themselves churches can be very dangerous. Imagine what these teenagers were thinking when their pastor comes out in these go-go boots. It looked like she had these black leather boots on. Looked like I think they came over her knee. And then she had a skirt on that just hit her thighs with leotards. Now, this is the way the so-called pastor is dressing for the Bible study. And then your pastor goes over to her husband and puts on this kind of a show there. I'm surprised that on Sunday there would even be 10 people in this place. Like maybe the staff might show up because they want their paycheck. And even according to Paula on Thursday, she didn't have any money to pay her payroll this week. She claims that she didn't have money to pay her payroll, but yet she's. And even after she said that, she was still asking people to give $41, and she was even begging people to give a dollar if they had it. But she's always promising them that all their needs are going to be met if they bring their money up and put it in the offering. But yet her needs aren't met. She can't even pay her people there that are working at the church. So you see how it works is that they lie from one side of their mouth, they're lying. About, she tells the truth about, look, I can't pay my payroll. But yet, then she continues to say, but yet, if you bring up an offering here, a Psalm 41 offering, or even a dollar, you have a dollar, she says, can you? You know, if Paula thinks it's bad now, just wait. Yeah, just wait and see what happens, what the Lord's going to do. Because God says he's going to judge these people. And I would rather, myself, I would rather have God judge me in secret. I'd rather repent of my sins and not have my shortcomings broadcast to the world, but the Lord says that if you won't repent, then he's going to openly humiliate you, and he will. He will openly humiliate you. So it's better to repent and get it over with than to have God judge you before the world. Because doesn't the Bible say that whatever you do in secret, it'll be exposed openly? And that what you've done in darkness will be brought to light if you don't repent. So, like I've said before, they don't have to be afraid of radio programs like this. Or the other discernment ministries out there, they need to be afraid of God because he sees it all. He sees all of it. I only see a part of it, of what's going on. But he sees it all. So they need to fear God. And apparently they have no fear of God. Otherwise, things would be very, very different. In these circumstances, but here's a scripture in Jeremiah 17:5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Jeremiah 48:10. Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully, and cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood. So I didn't write this. Jeremiah wrote it. Jeremiah 48:10, cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully. Zechariah 10:2, for the idols have spoken vanity, and the diviners have seen a lie, and have told false dreams. They comfort in vain. Therefore, they went their way as a flock. They were troubled because there was no shepherd. There was no shepherd. And we see that a lot today, don't we? That there is a lack of true pastors, of true shepherds, of people that really care about people, and they just aren't going somewhere and putting a sign outside church, so-called Ignited Church and this church and that church, and all it is a fleecing center. You go in there, and they look at you with, like, you have a dollar sign on your forehead, and they don't care anything about you. They're in it for the money. And we see that there is a real lack of love in the so-called body of Christ. I would say in the real body of Christ, and people that really do love the Lord, yes, there is real love, and there is real Christian fellowship. But, and yes, we definitely see that many of the so-called churches today have turned themselves over to familiar spirits and to divination. Isaiah 30, now I'm going to talk a little bit about covering. Isaiah 30, verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit. Now, you see, and I'm going to play some of these audio clips shortly on Juanita Bynum, because supposedly T.G. Jakes is her covering and her daddy and all that. And but yet, here's one of the biggest heretics that there is, Juanita Bynum, but yet she has this earthly covering. Now, this is how ridiculous this is, because there's no such thing as a covering. I've been to churches, and I've had pastors that committed adultery. They molested children. They were, I've known ministers that turned out to be homosexual. So imagine, like, these people are my covering? Who was watching them? And who was watching Jimmy Swaggart? Jimmy Swaggart had all kinds of so-called coverings. He was a member of the Assemblies of God, and he had all kinds of earthly coverings, but yet he was caught coming out of a motel wearing a bandana. He looked like an old hippie. There's a picture of him on the internet you could see from back in the 1980s when Marvin Gorman, another minister, so-called, followed Jimmy and followed him to this motel where he was meeting a prostitute. And it didn't even look like the Jimmy Swaggart that we knew. The Jimmy Swaggart we knew, we'd see on TV. He had a suit and a tie on, and he could really preach. But he had a secret life, and he was found out. But he had all kinds of coverings, but yet he was still doing what he was doing. And the same thing with Jim Baker at the time when he had PTL in the 1980s. He had all kinds of coverings. I think that one of the heads, Richard Dorch of the Assemblies of God, was actually on his staff there. So he had all kinds of coverings. And yet there was all kinds of shenanigans going on over there. So if you can't answer to God, if you're not afraid that God is watching you, does your pastor, like, do you have a video camera in your house where your pastor watches you 24 hours a day? You're covering, like he's watching you all the time, and he sees everything you do. Give me a break. Come on. It's so ridiculous. And, but, you know, people, they want coverings. They want ordination. Jesus said he's ordained you. He go look up the word ordain in the New Testament. Jesus says he's ordained you. So like, it's not good enough that Jesus already ordained you. You have to have somebody ordain you. Yes, I know that you have to have a license to marry people and to bury people, and I think to go into prisons and things. So, yes, there is a need for licensing and sometimes earthly ministerial papers to do certain things that you need to do. But it doesn't mean that you're qualified for ministry or because actually, really, we're all qualified for ministry. We're all called to the ministry of reconciliation because God doesn't have any favorite people that he favors with these tremendous gifts that they want you to believe you can't have. They're gifted and you're not, but God is no respecter of persons, and he said that we're all called to the ministry, and the ministry of reconciliation. We all have a mouth. And if we're born again, we have a Bible, we believe the Bible. So what do? We open the Bible, we quote the Bible, and really, we're a mouthpiece for God. And God said in his word, he uses the foolishness of preaching. So God doesn't have any special stars and any special people that we're supposed to revere and we're supposed to make idols out of. No, we're not supposed to do that. Because the Bible says, cursed is the man who puts his trust in man. So we don't put our trust in man because you'll be disappointed. You'll really be disappointed if you're putting some human being up on a pedestal, and they're going to fall off. Yeah, they're going to fall off. And some people even lose their salvation when they find out their pastor is a pervert or their favorite preacher is a pervert. Then they want to turn away from God. That, look, you're not going to answer to God for what Jimmy Swaggart did or for what Mike Murdoch did or... No, you're going to answer to God for what you did. So I'm going to answer to God for what I did. So I'm not going to lose my salvation because of some dopey preacher. And nobody should, really. That's really foolish. But God doesn't want us to have any idols. We all can take out our Bibles and we can read it and enjoy it and talk about it. And really, these kind of people aren't fit for any type of public ministry. Now he's supposedly trying to make a comeback, but he's not fit for public ministry. Child molesters, yeah, I know God can forgive them, but still, I would be very careful. Imagine your 15-year-old daughter going into the pastor's office and he's molesting her. It's a good thing he's still alive, I'll tell you. What a weirdo. Anyway.
I'm listening, but I also wanted to say I'm enjoying your show. It's my first time listening, so I am glad that I found you. I have lived in Tampa for about 14 years during the height of the whites ministry. And I find that everything that's happening now pretty interesting. I used to get in heated debates with fellow Christians and friends who did attend the church I at the time was not attending the church, and you know, due to pressure, I guess, and just I guess curiosity to see what the hype was about, I did attend a few services there. And I got to tell you, the first two times I went, the first time I went, I was trying to be open-minded and not judgmental. And, you know, I come from a background where both of my grandparents were reverend in the Church of God. So I have a foundation.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's kind of hard to sway me or to... I respect everyone's beliefs, but I am one that has a deep rooted foundation. And so when I attended the church, it you know it struck me as soon as I went in that something was off. You know,
it's
I
like
sat
a dungeon
it,
in there. It was like
well,
a dungeon
it was.
In there.
It was. Yeah. It was dark. It wasn't. I mean, everyone was welcoming, but it wasn't. It wasn't light. You know what I mean? It wasn't something that. When you go in churches that you feel a certain spirit, you know, you feel you feel that God is there. And that was the element that I think was missing, in my opinion. The second time I went, I wanted confirmation that I just wasn't being, you know, having been spoiled all these years by my grandparents and their great preaching and teaching. And so I went again, and the same feeling came over me. You know, it was more about popularity. Everyone there in the Tampa Bay area, you know, was a community of people who wanted to have some sort of spotlight. It was the popular church to go to. If you went, you were in the popular crowd. It was that type of feeling.
Yeah.
You know, they had certain celebrities that were constantly visiting the church.
Yes,
so it came,
they did,
you know, and then those particular celebrities, you know, they kind of had some issues of their own in their personal life. So I wasn't enticed by the glitz and glamour. I wasn't intrigued by it. And I just knew from that point on it wasn't for me. And I left and I never returned. Never said anything negative about them. Never, I just, you know, I've visited many churches, and if it's just me, I didn't return. But now seeing where the Whites have gone and how Paula White has continued on and just certain things that she even says as you were playing on your show, it's so discouraging for me, you know, as a Christian and someone who's walking with God and trying to be more of a student and learning, and you know, and then I look at these particular type of pastors, especially a female, a woman, that you want to kind of say, okay, well, maybe she can be like a role model for me or something. And then every time I see her, it's always something that just grabs my spirit to just turn away.
Yeah.
So I feel for people who are in this New Destiny Church. I feel for the following that they are following, and they're not giving up on her. They're not giving up on her ministry, even with the things that we see that she does. And it just it confuses me how you can see the hand in front of your face, but you don't do anything about it. And I just pray for them. So. But I didn't mean to take up too much time.
Thanks a lot for calling in. Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate your comments very much.
I sure will. Thank you.
Okay, call anytime.
God bless. I sure will.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Amen. Thank God a sister that visited Without Walls back in their heyday when actually they had also this building. I guess it could seat 4,000 maybe. They claim they had 20,000 members, but I doubt seriously that they ever had. I don't know where they would put them. They would have had to have had five services on a Sunday. Maybe they had 20,000 people come through there at one time, but the building didn't seat more than 4,000 or 5,000. I've been there myself to a few events. And so I know what it looks like on the inside. And it had no windows. It was dark in there. Even when the services were going on, they didn't put the lights on. It was just very strange, dark place. And across from the church building, they had an administration building, which at one time housed Polaroid's television studio and their international world headquarters, which one of the days that I was there after it had closed up, and I shot some video, which is on my YouTube channel, Susan Puzio, and you can go and see my videos there of the buildings. But there was actually a sign that I know they must have paid a lot of money for. It said, Without Walls International Church, and it was lying on the ground in pieces. Even after the sign fell off the building, you think they would have gone over there and picked it up and used it. But they just left it there, and it was all broken up on the ground. There was an old dirty mattress sitting out in the back. People were actually coming there and throwing their garbage there. Every window on this four-story building was broken out. This is after she left Tampa, after her and Randy got divorced, and the building was derelict. So it was a sign of God's judgment that 1 year where they had to report their finances, and that information is available on the Internet. I think it was 2007 when they were being investigated by the Grassley, Senator Grassley, so they had to prepare a financial report. But in that year, they took in over $30 million, but yet they wound up bankrupt by 2014, and that document is available on the Internet, too, the bankruptcy papers. It's also, I also have it in my video, one of my videos, but by 2014, they, Without Walls filed bankruptcy. Now, imagine that in 2007, they had taken in $30 million. What did they do with that money? And then they didn't pay their mortgage in Tampa. They bought the property in Lakeland, Florida, a 9,000-seat church, which has been bulldozed also, and was sold at a bankruptcy auction, at a foreclosure auction. So by 2014, they were completely bankrupt. And so none of the things that they taught, the tithing doctrines or the seed faith doctrines, worked for them. It didn't work for them. They wound up bankrupt, as bankrupt as the false teachings that they expound on. That's how they wound up. So God is not mocked. And yeah, whatever you sow, you're going to reap. If you sow to your flesh, you're going to reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap of those spiritual things. But what we hope for, and the main aim of my program, of course, number one is to bring people to the saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, but also to teach the body of Christ how we can be better Christians, how we can be a better example to the world. Not the example that we see currently being portrayed on what they call Christian television, but the example of us doing things because we really love people, not because we want something in return, which is what is being taught today, is that here, give, and because you give, you're going to get something back. But we don't even teach our children, our earthly children, to do that. So why would God, our Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, why would he teach his children to be like that? He wouldn't. So we've raised up, for the most part, a church of selfish children. And, they've reaped what they've sowed. But we want a reformation. We want to finish the reformation. We want to see the body of Christ become the glorious church. And it's going to take some work. But we have people, we have many thousands of listeners that listen to this program, and I know they listen because we feel like-minded. We have the same feelings about the church. We have the same feelings about our Lord and about how we want to see things change for the better, so that we can be a better testimony to the world. Because what the world's seeing now, because they're not seeing me on television, nobody's going to invite me on television, and I really don't want to go because I'm not looking to be seen. But we're not going to hear these type of messages on what they call Christian television. We really have our work cut out for us, because what they're hearing and what they're seeing is not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's another gospel. So they've really made a mockery of the church. And so we want to see a change, and a change for the better, because we know, even earthly parents know, that when you raise up selfish children, what happens? They turn into brats. And if they don't get their way, they'll steal, kill, and destroy, just like the devil. But yet, when you teach people to do things out of love, because that's how much God loved us, then we're going to raise up a church of better Christians. We're going to be a better example to the world. So it's still a real grassroots movement, what we're doing, I thank God for the people that listen, for the people that write, and they come for fellowship, they come to be uplifted, and that's what we want to do, is help the body of Christ. And it's a blessing for me, too, to do this broadcast. So, and I appreciate the listeners, many faithful listeners that have tuned in, and the emails, the positive ones, and even, you know, the negative ones. I read all my emails. Even on the YouTube channel, I let people criticize me. It's okay. You know, I don't block them. If they curse or they use obscene language, then I do block them. But they can criticize me. That's okay. But you notice a lot of these people, if you go on, for instance, when I went, and you can go on Rod Parsley's Facebook page and you can leave comments. But if you leave a comment that they don't like, they will take you off and they will block you. But in the meantime, if you want to go over there and leave a comment, it'll go on there. And he might read it. And then if it's something that might instruct him in what's right, he's going to take it off. But somebody read my comment and then took it off. But at least somebody read it. And maybe it was him. So, but you know, if he can't hear from God, he's in trouble anyway. But anyway, I wanted to talk a little bit about this Juanita Bynum. Now, I hadn't seen this video. I know my friend the Wolf Tracker, who has a program also on Blog Talk Radio, he had talked about it, and he pointed this video out to me. And it's from a few years ago when Juanita was at one of these big Women Now Art Loose conventions. Oh, yikes, there must have been maybe anywhere from 60,000, I would say, to 100,000 people in this arena. It was packed. And anyway, she takes off her shoes. Now imagine this: that you're the guest speaker at this huge conference, and you've got this so-called big shot there. Okay, T.D. Jakes is there. And he's hosting the thing, and you take off your stinky shoes, and you know, after you were walking in the street, and who knows what you stepped on or whatever, and you take your shoes off, and she takes her shoes off, and she puts it in this guy's, he's holding her dirty shoes. I don't know. I mean, come on. Stop, please, stop. No. I don't want your shoes. No, don't take your shoes off and then hand them to me. No, I don't want your shoes. No. And anyway, there he is, this big, huge guy, and he's holding her shoes, and she's calling him father, and he's forgiving her sins, and he's pouring oil on her head. Now, that's another thing. Why in the world would anybody want to pour a bottle of oil on your head? Did you ever try to get oil out of your hair? I would be really aggravated because I have long hair. Like if somebody poured a bottle of oil on my hair, because I don't know if I would ever get it out. Anyway, she's pouring this oil on her head, and she's down on her knees, and she's hugging him, and she's crying on him. Ugh. It was outrageous. And then she's claiming, she's screaming to him that he should teach her the right way to go. Teach me, she's saying. I need to sit at your feet and get a nugget. I'm like, hey, Juanita, that's what the Bible is for, okay? That's what the Holy Spirit is for. T.D. Jakes can't even find his own way. What do you need him for? Yeah, it's okay to have Bible teachers and evangelists and pastors, and that's all fine. Bible schools are fine, and church services are fine. But why do you put yourself in the position that you have to sit at somebody's feet and they have to teach you the right way to go when you can't expect some human being to be guiding you, because human beings are flaky, in case you didn't notice. We can be strange at times. So I'm not putting my trust in any human being, because I know one thing for sure. They're going to let me down. Somewhere down the road, the human being that I put up on the pedestal, they're going to fall off, and then they're going to let me down. So I'm not putting my trust in you. I have one friend for sure. One friend for sure. I have friends, but I've got one friend for sure, and he said he's never going to leave me. He said he's never going to forsake me. Yeah, I have one friend for sure, and that's Jesus. So I know he's not going to let me down. So even when you let me down, I'm going to still love you, but I'm not putting my trust in you, and I don't want you to put your trust in me. I want you to put your trust in God and to look to him as the author and finisher of your faith, because he's got all the answers. Me, I see through a glass darkly, you know. I don't see everything he sees. I don't know everything he knows. I'm never going to know everything he knows, ever. But anyway, here's Juanita, and she's asking T.D. Jakes to forgive her.
Woman, thou art loose. Will you welcome my daughter back home? To the woman, thou art loose. Conference, I can't hear you.
Every woman in this building.
Anyway, he's saying, my daughter, welcome my daughter. I don't know how she became his daughter. The Bible says that we're not supposed to call any man father. So I don't know how that works, but they make up their own stuff. Anyway, here's another clip from I'll get the name of this video for you in a minute. This clip is about 3 minutes when Juanita gives TD her shoes.
With what I experienced at 5 o'clock in the morning when it's just me and Jesus. As I stand in this building and I remove my shoes, in the Bible days, before the salt covenant, a man would take off his shoes and give them to his neighbor when he's making a covenant. And the shoes said that as sure as where I walk, I will keep my oath. And today I send you my shoes. And I submit my shoes to you. As long as my shoes is in your office, in your presence, I am committed to you to the day that I die. I'm in covenant. Nobody can ever bring me anything about you. You're my spiritual father. And I submit to you. And now I ask you, and Sister Sarita, to pray the blessings of the Lord on me so I can go to my next level.
Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. This day thy sins are forgiven me. I lay my right hand on you, the right hand of blessing, because of the brokenness of your spirit and of your heart. We wrap our arms around you in covenant and in fellowship and in prayer. And I pray that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that would rise up against you, that God would condemn. For this day have you proven that you are a daughter and not a bastard child. We receive you, we embrace you, we forgive you, we love you, we accept you, and by the power of God, we restore you as if it never was.
Jesus, I forgive your sins. Okay, all right, that was echoing, all right, terribly. Sorry about that. Sometimes I can't hear. I can hear it, but I can't hear how you hear it. So, anyway, I'm sorry that was probably too loud. Or sometimes the clips play louder than my voice. But anyway, if you go to YouTube, you'll see it's called this video series is called A Renewed Covenant, and that's with Juanita Bynum and T.D. Jakes, and you can see it for yourself. This must be pretty old because Randy and Paula White are there, and they've been divorced since 2007. But anyway, she's given him takes the shoes off her feet, and she gives him her shoes, and you know he's holding these dirty shoes, and then she's saying that he's gonna keep when she comes to his office, she's gonna see her shoes. Like, yeah. T.D. Jakes is going to frame her shoes and keep them in his office. When he looks at it, he's going to have a fond memory of, like, remember, he's going to say to Sarita, remember when that dopey Juanita Bynum game put her dirty shoes in my hand? And he's going to go, eh. Yeah, but she says that he's going to take those shoes and he's going to put them in her office, in his office. And then when he looks at those shoes, he's going to think about her. I'm sure now he never thinks about her. No, he doesn't think about her anymore. No. Especially after that. He doesn't think about her. No. But anyway, that video series is there. And you can see it. There's like a 5-part series, so I think it might be on the one that's the fourth one or the fifth one, where you can actually see her bowing down to him. She gets down on her knees and she's crying, and he's putting the oil on her head, and he's forgiving her sins, and she's calling him daddy and father. And well, I have one father. I have an earthly father, but I have one father, and that's my father in heaven. And I'm not looking for any preacher to be my father. No, I'm not looking for any preacher to be my father. No, thank you. Anyway, that's going to be about it for today. Until next week, and we're going to have Brenda Johnson on next week to talk about this whole thing with ISIS. And I noticed a friend of mine today on Facebook, she was telling people, and I agree with this too, because there are some people out there that they claim that ISIS is not real, and these jihadists aren't real, and that it's a hoax. Now, this is no hoax, okay? And she was telling people, look, if you make these kind of stupid comments on my Facebook page, I'm going to delete you. And I don't blame her, because no, this is real. Like I was saying before, there's over 1 billion Muslims in the world. They are serious about their book, about their beliefs. And they are serious about taking over the world for their God. Yeah, they have an agenda. I don't care. There may be some moderate Muslims, but if you would actually sit down with one of them and ask them what they believe, what they really believe about their book, maybe some of them would be honest with you. Maybe some of them wouldn't be honest with you. But what they really believe is, yes, they believe in jihad, and yes, they believe in taking over the world and converting everybody to their religion. That's what their aim is. When did you, 20 years ago, did you see a mosque in your hometown? I didn't see any in my county, but there's one here now. And I'm sure if I went in there, and I don't look like them, so I'm sure if I went in there, they would be wondering why I was there, and that they would be very suspicious. I understand that the men sit in one section and the women sit in another section. And even the women here, and this is Florida and it's hot here, even the women here, if you go out to the store in the middle of summer when it's 90 degrees, they're wearing long coats. They have a coat on, and the coat comes to their wrist, and then it comes to their ankle, and they have something on their head. And I'm thinking, wow, this poor lady, first of all, it's hot, and you can't even be comfortable in the heat like it's some kind of a crime for them to show their ankle or to show their wrist. I haven't seen any of them in my area in burkas, but who knows? So we have to really pray that they're threatening New York City and they're threatening Washington. And, you know, it's very hard to detect these people in a crowd. It would be very, very difficult. And things can happen so fast, like they did in Paris. And they're also managed to basically close down the city of Brussels with their threats. Now, what kind of religion is that? That's not a peaceful religion. And I have to hand it to the Senate this week that they, President Obama threatened to veto any kind of legislation that they passed to ban the Syrian refugees from coming in. And they had enough votes where they could override his veto. But I think they were threatening, or they might have sent an appeal over to the Supreme Court. But remember during World War I, we wouldn't allow our enemies to come and live in our country. So why do you want people that are your enemies, maybe not all of them are, but they have an ideology, and they believe in their book, if they call themselves a Muslim. So they may not be radical on the outside, but they might be radical on the inside as far as their beliefs. When you look at the Crusades and you look at the way the Catholic Church conducted themselves throughout history, it's basically the same thing. They used to set people on fire and burn people at the stake, just like these people. They put someone in a cage a few months ago and burned them alive. These things were done, too, by the Catholic Church, which they claim to be a Christian church, but that's not, Christians don't do that. So, no, it is not a Christian church. But there's a whole history like this, and people that have radical beliefs will do just about anything to promote their gospel. That's not a God of love. And if there are any Muslims listening to this program today, that's not a God of love. We don't kill people because they don't join our church. Everybody's got a free will to accept the Lord Jesus Christ or to reject his teachings. And we don't shoot people because they don't believe what we believe. That's up to you. We can tell you about it. We can share the gospel with you, but it's up to you to make the decision to accept the Lord Jesus Christ and to ask him for the forgiveness of your sins, because only he can forgive your sins. It's not that these people believe that if they kill people, they're going to go to paradise. What kind of belief is that? That's not love. That's not a God of love. That's not a God of mercy. That's not a God of forgiveness. So we have our work cut out for us as far as evangelizing these people and getting the gospel to them, because that's the only thing that's going to change these people. You don't change these people with dialogue. I'm sure all of us during our lifetime, we've met people that you couldn't talk to them. No matter how nice you were to them, and how you tried to reason with them, they weren't going to change their evil ways. They weren't going to change. Because we can't change people, but God can. The Lord Jesus Christ can. So it's only through evangelism that we're going to be able to change these people and to change their mindset. Because I've never... In my lifetime, I know what's happened throughout history, but in my lifetime, I've never seen people like this that will commit this kind of violence against innocent people that are out enjoying themselves, eating in a cafe and having going to a concert. and then somebody just opening fire on innocent people. For what reason? For what reason? As Christians, we don't get revenge on people. God said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. So we don't have to get revenge on people when they do us wrong. That's up to God how he's going to judge them and how he's going to play out the vengeance. So where do they get this from? It's awful, just awful. And we really need to pray for the protection of the people in some of these big cities where they're open targets for this kind of hate and violence. I'm telling you, when Jesus said that it was the beginning of sorrows, and it really is, we never thought that we were going to see the world in the condition that it's in. But we have a job to do, and we need to do it. Everybody in the body of Christ has something they can contribute to the spreading of the gospel. So God may give you an opportunity to be on Blog Talk Radio. Anybody can have a program on Blog Talk Radio. You can have a free program. I think they still offer them for 15 minutes a day. And you can have a program. Anybody could go on YouTube and have a television ministry right there. Since we've been on YouTube, we've had about 3 million hits on the two of our YouTube channels that we had. So that's 3 million people we reached, and it was free. All I needed was an internet connection, which that's not free. But you need an internet connection and a little bit of creativity, and so you're out there and you're preaching the gospel. So everybody can do something, and there's nothing better really than one-on-one evangelism. That's the best, really. That's how I got saved, is that someone preached the gospel to me, and I'm sure even in your lifetime as a Christian, as a believer, that you've preached the gospel to people and they've received Jesus, or people have preached the gospel to you and you received Jesus. So there's nothing better than one-on-one evangelism. And that doesn't cost anything. So I don't have anything against people raising funds for their ministries or writing a book or selling a book or whatever they choose to do to earn a living. I have no objection to that. But I do have an objection to people lying to people and fleecing people and then taking the money and using it to support a lavish lifestyle. That I have an objection to. I don't care how people spend their money. That's their money, and if they've earned it, they can buy whatever they want. That's none of my business. But when you take money from God's people under false pretenses, then it is my business, because that's not the way we're supposed to be conducting ourselves as Christians. We don't lie to people. We don't cheat people for our own selfish motives, for our own gain. We tell people the truth. If the pastor wants to take up an offering on Sunday, let him tell you, I'm taking up this offering. We're going to use it for this. We're going to use it for to pay salaries. We're going to use it justifiable salaries, not lavish salaries, and we're going to use it for the building and whatever. To take money from people and promise them something in return, when God is not bound to return anything to you. He doesn't have to give you anything, only if he wants to give you something. But we can't bribe him to give us things. So he's going to give you what he knows you can handle, and he's not going to give you any more than that, no matter how you scream and cry or how much money you lay down at some preacher's feet. He's just not going to do it. He's God. So anyway, God bless you all. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. Thank everybody in the chat room. Don't forget to check out my brother Vince, Southeast Vince there, Truth Sharks Radio on Blog Talk Radio, and my brother, the Wolf Tracker, on Blog Talk Radio, and Jackie Alnor on Rapture Ready Radio, three programs that I would highly recommend. I know there's many others, too, so if I didn't mention you, there are many other wonderful ministries on Blog Talk Radio, so avail yourself of those. And remember, the most important thing today is, are you born again? Have you made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? Jesus said in the third chapter of John that ye must be born again. Once you're born of your mother, then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. You need to repent of your sins, and we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no perfect one, only one perfect one that ever walked the earth, and that was the Lord Jesus. But we're all sinners, and we need to repent and ask God to forgive us and to wash us. And read the book of Romans today. The book of Romans says that confession is made with the mouth unto salvation, that we must confess the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Believe that he was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life and died on the cross. And he rose from the dead and he ascended into heaven and he sits at the right hand of the Father. And he's coming again. Hallelujah. The devil will not destroy this world. He will not destroy it. Jesus Christ will return one day, our victorious King. And he has overcome the world, so be of good cheer. Amen. That scripture made me so happy the other day when I saw it. And Jesus said, yes, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Amen. God bless you today, and thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.
Hey, record, here we go.
I'm going to a city to sit on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city that lies four square. The gates are made of jasper and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city on a hill, and someday I'll be in heaven and there'll be no sorrow there.
Plus Network is faster than Verizon and AT&T based on analysis of a recent study by Nielsen. And to celebrate, we're inviting you to join Sprint for the biggest offer in U.S. wireless history. Switch to Sprint and save 50% on most Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile rates. Yep, you heard that right. No gimmicks, no tricks. You have Verizon 6 gigs for $60, 30 with Sprint. And if you have 15 gigs for $100 from AT&T, 50 with Sprint. Even if you have T-Mobile's 10 gigs for $80, we'll give it to you for 40. And we won't force you to watch video in low def. Oh, and one more thing. We'll even pay your switching fees up to $650 per line so you can switch to the Sprint LTE Plus network today. Visit a Sprint store or sprint.com/save50%.
Offer coverage not available everywhere for discounted phones. Excludes taxes, surcharges, roaming, and premium content. Subject to new line, $36 activation fee. Credit valid for in plans may not be exact match. See website for eligible plans. Offer ends 1/7/16, 30 through 1/8/18. Exclusions and restrictions apply. Contract by OD. Reward card requires online registration.